Doug LaFollette, Secretary of State speaking, calling to order the meeting of the Board of Commission Public Lands on December 3rd at 2 o'clock. The Attorney General and I are present. The State Treasurer was not able to be here. The first item is the approval of the minutes of the November 19th meeting. Josh, you want to look at those and see if they look okay to you?
I move to approve the minutes.
So did you make a motion?
Yes, I move to approve the minutes.
Okay, I'll second the motion to adopt the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, Doug. Now we've got a number of loans here. Let me scroll down here. I looked at them a minute ago. There, I think, are how many? Let's see, 11. 11 loans totaling about $9 million. Are there anything we should know special about these, or should we go ahead and approve them all?
Well, this is Rich. There's two loans that I think merit some additional attention. One is loan number two to Mount Pleasant. Mount Pleasant has been in the news a lot over the past years because that's where Foxconn is going to have their major development. This loan does not have anything to do with Foxconn. It's within the tax incremental district number one, which was established back in 2006, but it is the closest to the interstate to provide interstate access to the Foxconn development, and it's undergoing some major growth, as you might imagine. It includes the InSinkErator headquarters, CETA packaging, and Racine Toyota, and they are doing some additional infrastructure work to provide for those business developments. The other loan that I'd like to talk about a little bit is loan number 11, which is Black River Falls. Now, this is a revenue loan, so it's a little higher rate. It's part of a package of loans. We did a general obligation loan for the same project last week for the last meeting, and it's to improve infrastructure within their tax incremental district number 3. What they're trying to do is preserve general obligation capacity for a major project that they anticipate moving forward with over the next few years, and that's why they decided to split this this financing into both revenue and general obligation loans.
Okay. My only comment would be that in the Mount Pleasant loan, that's $5 million, which is quite a bit. I'm sure they've approved it, and they're good for it. 11 years seems strange. I never saw an 11-year loan before.
I think that it relates to the expiration date of the tax incremental district.
Right, okay. Well, I'll move adoption of these loans.
So I'd like to discuss further, but I guess is the appropriate procedural step to second the motion first.
Okay. The motion is seconded. Do we have any questions or comments? Josh?
Yeah, I have some questions about the Mount Pleasant loan. The main question I have, Rich, I understand that it's not, well, I guess one of my questions is you talked about it being a road related to, or it, in the vicinity of where the Foxconn facility will be. Is the value to Mount Pleasant of this project directly related to the construction of the Foxconn facility?
I don't believe so. There's several businesses located within this tax incremental district.
Okay. And then my other question, I guess, relates to Mount Pleasant, sort of our protection for the beneficiaries with this loan. And taking the point you just made, I guess my question is if Mount Pleasant has other obligations that are due in connection with spending it's made relating to Foxconn, does that create any risk for related to this loan?
They have general obligation indebtedness outstanding of approximately $40 million before this loan. But they have total equalized valuation of over $3.2 billion. And so there's plenty of capacity for them. They are generating sufficient tax revenue. You know, you can borrow up to 5% of your equalized value, and they are less than 25%. They're utilizing less than 25% of that capacity. Now, they have issued some significant amount of revenue obligation debt in related to Foxconn, but that would be in a position lower than this loan, and so we would get paid first. We also have the backstop of intercepting state aid to the village of Mount Pleasant should they be the first municipality to ever default on a trust fund loan.
Well, I guess one of the questions, you know, we've seen in the papers, obviously, about the Foxconn plans changing, and there seems not to be total clarity as to exactly what's going to happen there, to put it mildly. And I guess the question is, if Foxconn were to, you know, decide it was pulling out, for example, and then all of a sudden Mount Pleasant was left with a bunch of repayment obligations, how confident are we that our, you know, we'll be repaid in full for this loan if that circumstance comes up?
Josh, this is Tom. The best way of describing us is that we are at the top of the food chain in terms of getting our money back. So first of all, a general obligation is backed by the full faith and credit and taxing authority of the community. And you are absolutely right. Some of those revenue loans out there, because of the fact that those are not backed by the full faith and credit, the credit raters were starting to look a little bit askance at some of that stuff. But as Rich pointed out, the actual amount of general obligation debt that they've incurred is still relatively low. For most credit rating agencies, 60% of your borrowing capacity is kind of where they start drawing the line as to where they start looking much more closely. And currently, Mount Pleasant is only at 25%. And then, as Rich pointed out, on top of everything else, we can intercept their state aid if something would happen that they, for whatever reason, did not pay our loan back. And it's a mandatory interception. It is not a permissive. And so it's something that goes into effect automatically at that point.
So I guess I have two follow-up questions. And one is on the 25% you were referring to. I mean, typically when a municipality has significant borrowing, it's diversified. So it's unlikely that the, you know, large amount of that debt will all of a sudden be impacted by a single event. I'm guessing, this is just a guess though, I'm asking, I guess, is that the case here, or is a lot of this debt related to the Foxconn project such that there's, you know, a significant impact to the Foxconn project could impact a lot of this debt?
I'm looking at their list of general obligation debts, and they have approximately 8 or 10 obligations outstanding beginning in the year 2008. You know, there's a number of them that are more recent. Some of them may be related to Foxconn. In general, what municipalities will try to do is, when they issue new debt, is schedule the repayments so that not a lot of it is going to be required to be repaid in any single year. They'll try to spread it out evenly so they have an even budget number moving forward for tax or for debt repayments. And I think that that's what's going on here.
What was surprising to me is when we took a look at this this tax incremental district where these improvements were going into, if I remember correctly, the base was $3 or $4 million, and the increments, in essence, the improvements that have been put into this district since it was developed was 50 some million.
Yeah, right now the total increment within this tax increment district is $83 million.
Oh, $83 million, okay.
And that, you know, so really what's going on, Josh, is that the tax increments that are already being generated by this district are going to be more than sufficient to make the debt service payments, and that Mount Pleasant will not have to issue a levy outside of that to make these payments. We require to make a levy just in case, and we do have that ability to intercept state aid, like has been mentioned. But I believe that the tax increments generated by this district already in place are more than sufficient.
So the other question on the interception of state aid I had is, my understanding is that the state has at least, I forget exactly the phrase that was used, but has provided some moral agreement that it would cover some of the debts that are owed if that was necessary in connection with the Foxconn project. If that's the case, if that were to be necessary, would that mean that we are essentially intercepting money that the state would be giving to Mount Pleasant and then just moving it into BCPL funds?
Interesting.
It's a good question, but I believe what the state did was they issued a moral obligation on to guarantee about 40% of some of the debts that were issued for the Foxconn project. And I do not have an accounting of exactly which of those obligations came with that moral obligations and which ones didn't. But a moral obligation is different than a guarantee. It's a much softer, weaker version of it is about the best way to put it, whereas our intercept is a hard process. In essence, the statutes provide that if they don't pay, then their shared revenue or state aid shall be intercepted.
This is Doug. That would not happen until 11 years from now, presumably, right? Because the loan is for 11 years.
But it could happen in any one of those 11 years because they have to make payments.
Oh, okay. How soon do they start payments?
Their first payment would be due in 2021 on March
21, 15th. Okay.
Yep.
I got it. Thank you. Josh, I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry.
No, I appreciate the question. Okay, and what's the confidence among the members of the staff about, I assume I know the answer to this from the fact that this is included in the proposals, but I'm just curious what the confidence of among the members of the staff is that the debt will be repaid in full, even if the Foxconn project does not work out.
Josh, this is Jonathan. I have a high level of confidence, about as high as I could get, that this will be repaid. The limit for debt for Town of Mount Pleasant is 5% of their equalized value, which is $161 million, plus or minus, they could be borrowing. Right now, they have a debt of $38 million. So they're going to be at around 25% of their legal limit of debt. Then secondly, this is supported by revenue from tax increment that's already in place and backed up by general obligation. So I just don't see any reason for possibility that we wouldn't get full repayment on this, even if something went south on the Foxconn loans.
This is Doug. I've been on the board for many years, as you know, Josh, and we have never not gotten the loan repayment because of this automatic payment system.
I know that's true, but I also know that we've never done a project in the state that's anything like Foxconn. And
right.
I want to make sure that we've made sure we've accounted for, that our staff has accounted for all the different possible contingencies, before we approve it. And it sounds like the staff feels confident that they have. Is that right?
Yes.
When we saw this one come in, this is one that we lifted up the hood and looked under quite a bit because, frankly, we had we had some of the same concerns that you're expressing, and we wanted to know exactly where they were on all these issues. And after going through it with a fine-tooth comb, we have a very high degree of confidence that this is a safe loan.
Okay, that answers all the questions I had. Doug, thank you for giving me the time on that.
Oh, no problem. I'm no fan of Foxconn, and the recent news the last week or so, where independent analysis says that even if it continues and is successful, we're still going to be losers. I mean, so the state got hoodwinked by past administrations, and I guess it's too late now. But this loan is sort of irrelevant to the Foxconn situation. I have no questions. All in favor of approving these 11 loans, say aye.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Doug. Okay, now we have to deal with this amendment to the asset allocation changes. And I looked at that, and I had a couple of questions, but I guess we should entertain a motion first and then discuss it after we have it on the table.
I'll move to adopt the proposed amendment.
And I will second the motion. The question I had is more clarification, and I admit to being sorry that I wasn't involved in this as much as I should have been. But given that, my question is, it looks to me like the changes are primarily to invest a lot less in U.S. Treasury bonds and invest a lot more in equities and alternatives and invest a lot more in private real estate. Is that true?
Doug, this is Rich. The major changes between the former target allocation and the current target allocation are to provide for the most part, real estate investments. The amounts that are target allocations to equities remains the same. Now, what the chart that you're looking at doesn't include the former allocation and the current the new allocation. It includes where we actually had our money invested. And that shows, you know, going from 3% to 7.5%. But the target allocation was always at that level for the equities.
Oh, I see. So I'm misreading the chart. The current allocation is different than the target. The current target.
Yeah, I apologize for that confusion. The first column there called current allocation is where money was actually invested at the end of the year.
Okay.
Not what our former target allocation was at.
All right. So, thank you. I have no other questions. Josh?
No, I don't either.
In that case, I'd move the adoption of this amendment to our asset allocation system.
I think we already moved it, so I think we just need to vote.
Sorry. Okay. All in favor of adopting, say aye. Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
It's adopted. Okay, now let's see. We're gonna have some serious discussions here. I'm just joking here. Get back to chief investment officer is going to elucidate us.
I'm gonna pass this time around. I will have a full report at the next meeting. We're just a little bit too close to the end of the month for me to have those reports available. So.
Okay. How about Executive Secretary? What would he like to say?
Yeah, I have a brief thing I'd like to bring up and actually have Tom round it out. And in a meeting that I was not privy to, but Sarah, our chair, called attention to me that she had with the governor's office, it's kind of a regular meeting, it was alleged or stated that we were one of three agencies that have not met our financial control responsibilities. I checked with Tom at the time and Denise at the time, and none of us could quite figure out what that was. But we surmised, as it turned out correctly, that it had to do with STAR and the fact that we've got very few people in this agency, and the span of control between receiving something and passing it out is hard to maintain, especially seeing how we're down two positions. So Tom investigated this further, and I think I'd like him to kind of, and has come up with an approach that will resolve it in the future.
Okay, good.
Sometimes machines are not as smart as we'd like them to be, is about the best way to put it. So in any agency that handles money, you're supposed to have an internal control plan. In essence, a plan that is supposed to guide you to avoid fraud. And we've had an internal control plan for years. We update it regularly, and it's fine. However, because when the state cut over to STAR, STAR was different than the previous computer program that the state had used. And there are some pieces that STAR does not have. And it just so happens that in the accounts receivable module, it's missing a piece. And so when a fine or forfeiture comes to BCPL, Denise sets it up for entry into the STAR system. She sets up the accounting string and then notifies the state controller's office. STAR does not have anything built into it for someone else to approve that before it goes to the state controller's office. So the state controller is asking agencies that get accounts receivable money to set up a hard copy plan to have a second set of eyes to make sure that the accounting string is right on those before it goes to the state controller's office. Because the state controller has no independent knowledge as to whether the accounting string is correct or not. And so they are asking agencies to develop a compensating controls plan, and that's something that we're trying to do. We hope to have it done within a week, and if we do our job correctly, hopefully it will be no more than 2 pages.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be simpler for STAR to just amend its practice?
In my simplistic view of the world, the state should have bought an enhanced module that provided that additional step. Because if you think about it, every time that we invest money, that requires 2 approvals on our end. In essence, Denise sets it up, and then Rich or I approve the transaction. But STAR does not have that second step built into it when it comes to accounts receivable. And this is not for our loans. This is just for other things, because our loan payments come in through a lockbox and come into us through DOA. So,
well, the whole STAR system has had some problems.
My job is not to throw stones. My job is to figure out how we can do things in a manner that makes the most sense here. And I think we're well on our way to having that accomplished.
And hopefully, DOA.
Okay. Well, I thank the current and future executive secretary. It's time for the board chair report. I'm acting as a board chair, and I have nothing to report except I hope Sarah's doing well. Have we heard from her? She's doing well?
She's doing well. The baby has not arrived yet, but
any moment. Any moment, okay. Thank you. Future agenda items. I have none. Josh, anything you want to put on the agenda?
No, none for me.
Okay. In that case, unless someone wants to make a comment,
I'd like to make a quick comment. If we could get on the agenda the issue of outside counsel for reviewing those real estate investments would be wonderful.
Well, go ahead and put it on for the next meeting.
Very good.
The next meeting is the 17th. I will be calling in on that meeting from my brother's house. I have to go see my brother, but I'll call in for that meeting, I'm pretty sure. Josh, you okay with everything?
Yeah, I assume that date works, and we'll talk to you then.
All right. In that case, I would make a motion that we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor of adjourning, say aye. Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
Have a good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.